to apply secondary sanctions or sanctions on Iran or those doing business with Iran.
Yeah, and Maria, just to remind you and your viewers, this began with the order last March from President Trump on max pressure. And 3 weeks ago, the president gave the order to Treasury, myself, to begin economic fury. And the way to think about that, we were running a marathon over the past 12 months, and now we are sprinting towards the finish line. And I can tell you that we are suffocating the regime, and they are not able to pay their soldiers. This is a real economic blockade, and it is in all parts of government, all hands on deck. It is the blockade that our great Navy is doing. No ships are getting through, and we have upped the pressure on anyone trying to remit money into Iran.
This is my video update on this Sunday afternoon, May the 3rd, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with sanctions on China, on Chinese oil refineries that work with Iran. These are the warnings and the threats that are coming out of Scott Bessent and the U.S. Treasury. And China's response to these warnings of sanctions on their oil refineries, should they decide to work with Iran to import oil from Iran, the response is that China is going to make it illegal for oil refineries in China to adhere to these possible sanctions that could be placed against them by the United States. Quite an interesting response from China, an appropriate response from China to their oil refineries and to their oil companies. You will not comply with the U.S. sanctions, if the U.S. does decide to go through with sanctions, we will make it illegal for you to comply with those sanctions. It's a good response, actually. Very good response. Let's see here. China orders domestic refineries to ignore U.S. sanctions. The Ministry of Commerce in China said that the restrictions interfere with normal trade between its firms and third parties and banned compliance with the sanctions, citing national sovereignty, security, and development interests. Has Washington gone through with the sanctions? Has Scott Bessent actually gone through with the sanctions, or is it still just a warning? I imagine they'll go through with it if they haven't already, but China is saying nope. Our oil companies will not comply with these sanctions. We're gonna make it so that they do not comply with these sanctions. They're gonna continue to trade with Iran. So Iran has presented a 14-point plan to the United States. I think a 14-point plan, and this is confirmed from high-level Iranian government officials and Iranian media. They have confirmed that they have presented via Pakistan a 14-point plan to the United States in order to wind down the war, to settle the conflict. My understanding of the plan is that, it's got 14 points, but it's broken up into 2 months, two time periods. So the first month, there will be talks and negotiations to settle the blockade on Iran, figure out how to open up Hormuz and all of the tolls and fees and all of that. Also ending the war against Lebanon. That war has to end as well. That's the first month. And then the second month, they're going to sit down and deal with everything else. The uranium enrichment, the frozen assets, reparations, U.S.
military bases, which, according to this plan, have to leave the region. And lifting of sanctions, the unfreezing of assets, reparations, uranium enrichment. Yeah, all of those issues will be dealt with in the second month, and they're part of the points in this 14-point plan, which has been submitted to the United States. Iranian officials have said that the ball is in the U.S. court. The Islamic Republic of Iran has submitted its plan to Pakistan as the mediator with the aim of permanently ending the imposed war. And now the ball is in the U.S. court to choose between a diplomatic solution or a continuation of the confrontational approach. Gharibabadi said, as quoted by Press TV, he is the Iranian deputy foreign minister. Oh, another part of the plan, which needs to be settled, is a guarantee that the United States and Israel, that they will not attack Iran again. So some sort of treaty or something has to be worked out there as well. Now, Trump has confirmed that this plan has been delivered to the United States. And it looks like he's going to reject it. At least that's the sense that I got. And the reason that this plan will most likely be rejected is because Trump believes that Iran needs to be punished further. Trump actually posted on Truth Social, "I will soon be reviewing the plan that Iran has just sent to us, but can't imagine that it would be acceptable in that they have not yet paid a big enough price for what they have done to humanity and the world over the last 47 years. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump." What a statement on Truth Social, huh? What they have done to humanity and the world over the last 47 years. Okay. That's the initial reply from the Trump White House, the first reply from the Trump White House upon receiving this plan. I believe Axios reported earlier today, and this is coming from Axios, so take it with a grain of salt, but Axios was saying that Iran is going to give the United States 1 month to lift the blockade and to start moving on the negotiations. I don't know what happens after 1 month, but anyway, I read that on my social media feed from Axios. So Kuwait has not exported any crude oil in this month. Zero barrels of crude oil in a single month for the first time in over 30 years. No oil leaving Kuwait this month, and 30 years. First time in 30 years. Wow. CNN, they are running an investigation, or they ran an investigation, and they claim that Trump and Hegseth are trying to downplay and cover up the U.S. military base damage that was incurred by the Iranian military and the Iranian drone and missile strikes. The U.S. military bases in the region, in the Gulf region, according to CNN, have been absolutely demolished. And they have some videos and photos, and they're running an investigation, and they're saying that Hegseth and Trump, they don't want to talk about it. They try to downplay it. But the U.S. military bases in the region were absolutely smashed by Iran. So that's CNN and their reporting. Let's shift gears and talk about Project Ukraine. Iranian drones smashing U.S. military bases. Yesterday, we had reports, which this is coming from Ukraine, but they even published a video where they sent naval drones to attack two Russian Shadow Fleet vessels near Novorossiysk port. I'm going to read you a quote from Le Goblin Vert, who said these tankers were actively used to transport oil. Now they won't be. President Volodymyr Zelensky. It's a pirate world, everybody. Russia better wake up to the fact that it is a pirate world. There is no law of the sea or international maritime law or international trading routes, safety of the international trading routes, or any nonsense like that anymore. That's all gone out the freaking window. Ukraine is attacking what they call Russian Shadow Fleet tankers with their naval drones. No response from the Kremlin just yet. We don't even know how much damage was done. There's a video, it shows the drones, but we don't know exactly what the damage was, how extensive it was to these tankers. We also had Ukrainian drones fired into Leningrad, to the Leningrad region. A couple of drones towards Moscow, but about 60 drones made their way towards Leningrad. Most of the drones, St. Petersburg, Leningrad region, most of the drones were knocked down. I believe actually all of the drones were knocked down, but the debris from some of the drones fell on one of the oil facilities, and it did cause some damage, though it has been repaired. It was repaired fairly quickly. But once again, you have drones most likely to make it all the way up to the Leningrad, St. Petersburg region, to that area. Did they go through from Ukraine, through Russian territory, all the way up to that area? Highly doubted. Most likely, you have drones, once again, using the East European airspace as cover. And then they turn east once they get to the right height. They turn east and they attack the Leningrad region. Leningrad region governor Drozdenko last night, the Leningrad region, repelled a massive attack, shooting down more than 60 enemy UAVs. The key target of the attack was the seaport of Primorsk. As a result of the attack's repellent operation, a fire broke out in Primorsk. The aftermath has now been extinguished. No oil spills were reported. I thank our military for protecting the skies over Leningrad. Russia's published the list of drone facilities. The Russian Ministry of Defense, they issued their warning a couple of weeks ago. Medvedev, Lavrov, they followed up on the list of drone facilities in Europe, Turkey, Israel, that are manufacturing the drones, allegedly manufacturing the drones, the locations of these facilities. And these are the drones that allegedly are also being used to attack the Russian Federation, internationally recognized Russian Federation. All of that stuff has been published. The warnings have been issued. The attacks continue. Russia launched a big drone and missile strike into Ukraine, a big drone strike and a couple of Iskanders as well into Ukraine. So that also happened yesterday. And Witkoff and Kushner were supposed to travel to Kiev this weekend. They were supposed to be in Kiev to meet with Le Goblin Ver. And the trip got canceled. The reason for the cancellation is because Witkoff and Kushner allegedly see no value in traveling all the way to Ukraine, to Kiev, traveling to Poland, and then taking the midnight train going anywhere to Kiev to meet with Le Goblin Ver. Nothing much to talk about. Nothing happening with the negotiations. So everything was canceled. The Associated Press ran an article today or yesterday. I think yesterday, but I read it today, about the drone strikes into Russia, into Moscow, and into the Leningrad, St. Petersburg area, and how Ukraine is hitting oil facilities deep inside Russia. Actually, a facility was also hit in Perm, in the Perm region, a couple of days ago. That's deep inside Russia. The theory is that those drones were launched from Azerbaijan and flew over Kazakhstan. I think that's the theory. Or some of the drones even crashed in Kazakhstan. So they're being launched from a completely different area. And the Associated Press talks about this in the article. That's why I'm bringing it up, because they're saying that the Ukraine military is very confident about the strategy of using drones to hit Russian facilities anywhere inside of Russia. They feel very confident that they can hit anywhere inside of Russia. They've manufactured drones which have a longer range than what they previously had, say a year ago or 2 years ago. So now they have drones with a longer range, and they're very confident because they say that they can launch the drones from different locations and in multiple directions. So they keep the Russian air defense and the Russian military off balance. And they can strike targets such as Perm, such as St. Petersburg, Moscow, targets on the Black Sea. And so they feel like the drone strategy is very successful. The Associated Press points all this out, but it also notes that as far as degrading Russia's ability to produce oil and to export oil and to make money from the export of oil, the strategy is not working too well. They're hitting targets, mostly storage facilities, storage containers, which are very easy to repair. So they hit the containers. A lot of smoke, a lot of fire. It causes a lot of environmental damage. The Associated Press talks about this, the environmental damage that this is causing Russia and the people of Russia. But as far as the actual exporting of the oil and fixing these containers, it's fairly quick. It's a couple of days, and then they can fix these containers, and whatever damage was done can be repaired. And then they can export the oil, and the Associated Press makes a point to say that now the oil that is exported from Russia is selling at a much higher price because of the war in Iran. So Russia is actually making more money. So as Ukraine is ramping up these strikes on Russian oil facilities, yes, it's causing damage. Yes, it looks bad for the Putin administration. It's creating environmental hazards and environmental damage to Russia and to the people living in those areas, maybe even long-term damage to the environment. But as far as the revenue of selling oil and degrading Russia's ability to make money from oil, that's actually moving in the opposite direction. That's actually going up, and Russia's making more money on selling oil. And the facilities are fixed very quickly. So that's the article from the Associated Press. It was an interesting read. But many of the things that they reported on are things that we've been discussing on this channel or on the Durand for a while now. I remain of the view that Putin needs to get on top of this ASAP. That's my view of things. It does not look good, and Ukraine is getting more and more confident. The collective West is getting more and more confident in their ability to hit Russia without Russia enforcing their deterrence. There's no deterrence there. So they feel more emboldened and more confident that they can strike more targets inside of Russia, deeper inside of Russia. And they're not worried about any type of response or retaliation. And the Kremlin is remaining very quiet about all of this. So that's an update on that. And U.S. President DJT, he said that he will be withdrawing more than 5,000 troops from Germany. He was asked about the 5,000 number of U.S. troops in Germany that will be withdrawn. And Trump said there's going to be more than 5,000 servicemen to be withdrawn from Germany. That is what Trump told reporters, more than 5,000. That complicates things for Annalena Baerbock, who has to do all of the math, right? She had it down, 36,000 U.S. troops in Germany at the moment, 5,000 leave, divided by 360 degrees. That means we'll have 31,000 U.S. Soldiers inside of Germany. What if Trump decides to remove 9,867 troops from Germany? How is Annalena going to do that math? 36,000 minus 9,867. 37. Oh my God. Malfunction, brain malfunction. Reboot. Reboot. Just make it 25,000. We'll have around 25,000 U.S. troops in Germany. Oh boy, it's complicated math. It's complicated math. 36,000 minus 5,000. That's simple, straightforward, right? Anyway, we'll see exactly what all of this means. We'll see if the United States does it. That's the first thing. We'll actually see if Trump does this. And what does it mean when he says that, you know, he's going to remove troops from Germany? Does he mean he's just going to take them and move them over to Poland or the Baltics or somewhere close by? If that's the situation, then nothing really changes, at least as far as the U.S.-NATO positions relative to Russia, right? You're actually moving forces closer to Russia. You'll still have the air bases in Germany. You'll still have the supply lines and all of that stuff will still be intact. But you're just taking soldiers and you're moving them closer to the border with Russia. Is that what's going to happen? Or are we talking about troops coming back home to the United States? That would be a different story if we're talking about, say, 10,000 U.S. troops or 9,867 U.S. troops leaving Germany and coming back home to the United States. That would be shocking. I think that would send a big shock to the European globalist elite. But if the soldiers just get shuffled around within the same area in Europe or Eastern Europe, then I don't think NATO is going to worry too much. The German globalist political class and the businesses that make money off of the U.S. military bases and having a large U.S. presence in Germany, they could be rattled by all of this. They might be rattled by all of this. Anyway, that is the announcement from Trump. We have reports about a cooperation between Greece and Ukraine, a joint venture, where Greece and Ukraine have decided to make naval drones, those naval drones, to hit Russia, right? And they're going to be manufacturing these drones in Greece. You see, all the countries in Europe, they want to get in on the military slush fund action by coming up with these joint ventures, by putting together these joint ventures with Ukraine. Then they can dip into all of the funds that Ursula has created. They can also possibly dip into the $90 billion gift that has just been given to Le Gobelin Vert, of which $60 billion of that will go to the military-industrial complex. So all the countries in Europe are lining up to put together joint ventures with Ukraine. Cats in this park are a bit scared. I wonder why. Interesting. So Greece, of course, is going to try and take advantage of all of these funds, and they're putting together a joint venture with Zelensky to manufacture naval drones. But there's a problem. Here's the story to all of this. The problem is that Ukraine is telling Greece that they have a veto right over the drones that are going to be manufactured inside of Greece. All the drones are going to be manufactured inside of Greece, and Ukraine is going to provide some parts and some expertise or whatever. Just a bunch of bollocks. But anyway, Ukraine is telling Greece, look, you're going to manufacture these drones, but we're going to have a veto over how these drones could be used in case of conflict. So Ukraine is going to be all for the drones being used to attack Russia, but they put that veto in there, Ukraine, because they don't want to upset Turkey, and they don't want the possibility of having drones in this partnership with Greece being manufactured to perhaps put some pressure on Turkey. So they're trying to balance Greece and Turkey. They don't want to get on the bad side of Erdogan and Turkey. So now the deal, this joint venture, looks like it is falling apart, because Greece is saying, no, you don't have a veto right over us. We're going to be making these drones on our land. We're going to be manufacturing them. The only reason we're including you in there is because we need to include you in this deal, because that unlocks the funds that we can take from the EU. But you're not going to have a veto right over us. So that's where we are with that story. We'll see how all of that shakes out. And now we shift gears to Romania. I'm covering a lot of countries today, huh? Right close to Greece, we have Romania. And there's going to be a no-confidence vote. That's my understanding of things. The Prime Minister of Romania, the coalition, which was a minority coalition. We remember everything that happened with Iordiescu and the elections and the bogus TikTok Russian interference, which proved to be nothing of the sort, and how Ursula and the EU manipulated those elections, and they finally got their guy elected in Romania after the do-over. Anyway, they have this minority coalition government. This is how I'm understanding things. And the prime minister of the minority coalition government, Mr. Bolojan, he is imposing a crapload of austerity on Romanians, because the EU, they demand austerity. EU and prosperity do not go together. When you're in the EU, you're going to undergo austerity, not prosperity. Austerity is the name of the game for the European Union. The center, the Brussels center, has to suck up everything. That is how the European Union works. Everything must move towards the center. All the money, all the assets, all the funds, all the businesses, everything has to move towards the center and be controlled by the center. And then the center decides. They'll decide if you've been good or bad. And if you've been good, maybe they'll return some of that money back to you. Some of those assets back to you. If not, then you're out of luck. But anyway, Romania is now undergoing big time austerity. It's making it very tough on the people of Romania. They're very unhappy with everything that is going on. And the minority coalition government is breaking apart. Two of the parties in the coalition, I believe two, have decided to leave the coalition, and now they're pushing for a no confidence vote. And we could be heading into some political chaos in Romania. Remember Simeon, who was aligned with Iordiescu? He's sensing an opportunity in all of this. So we'll see what's going to happen in Romania, I believe, this week coming, either this week or the week after. We could be getting this no-confidence vote. The prime minister refuses to step down, and we could be seeing some sort of a government collapse, maybe. But that's the situation in Romania, a very important country for the globalist elite, extremely important. I was reading Politico's take on this, and Politico is very much aligned with the globalist elite of Europe. And they were sounding the alarm on Romania, what could be happening in Romania, because Romania is extremely important for Project Ukraine. That's what Politico said. Extremely important for NATO, because you're going to have a very big NATO base in Romania. And of course, Romania is very important in the future. Its location, its geography, the Black Sea, Moldova, very important in the future if there is going to be some sort of a war with Russia. So they're very worried about what could be going on in Romania. You got to keep Romania under control and in line. So let's do a clown world. How are we doing on time? We're doing all right. Let's do a clown world and wrap this video up. Like this video, share this video, subscribe to this channel. If you have a hype available on your mobile device, that's where you can find the hypes, then send me a hype. That would be very much appreciated. But definitely like this video. Just hit that like button. Smash that like button. Tap that like button. Click that like button. And give a like to this video. That kind of helps out the views. Kinda. So let's start our clown world. And the first clown world is Jesse Waters of Fox News telling his viewers that Iran is strapping suicide bombs to dolphins. Iran's last hope, kamikaze dolphins. That is what Waters is saying. Jesse Waters.
Kamikaze dolphins. The Persians want to strap mines to dolphins to weaponize the strait. Don't tell PETA. These rogues are desperate.
A very poor replacement for Tucker Carlson. Very poor replacement of Tucker Carlson. But anyway, Waters is now talking about kamikaze dolphins. That's Iran's last hope. That's Iran's last chance wonder weapon. The scriptwriters just lifted this off of Russia, right? Russia, Putin, Ukraine, and the dolphins in Crimea. Are these the same dolphins in Crimea? Maybe Russia has given their dolphins that they weaponized in Crimea, maybe they've given them to Iran. Have you guys thought about that? Have you thought about that, Fox News, Jesse Waters? Maybe that's something you can investigate. Maybe Jesse Waters can conduct a Fox News exclusive investigation. Are the dolphins, or were the dolphins in Crimea that Putin weaponized, are they the same dolphins that Iran is using? The scriptwriters are getting lazy. They're getting lazy. I wonder who will believe this story, who will believe this stuff. I guess there'll be people who are watching Fox News who will be believing this, but wow. Oh, wow. So the Trump White House, they posted, this is bizarre. This is bizarre. I thought this was a joke at first. I thought this was AI, a fake. But no, I went on to the White House's is X account, and sure enough, I found this video. It's a video, it's a GIF, a GIF or a video of Trump just saying winning on repeat. That's it. They just clipped a part out of a Trump speech where he says winning, and they just have it on a loop, on a repeat, for an hour, for a freaking hour. It's just Trump saying winning, 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 winning. Let me play it for you.
winning it.
And you guys say that I repeat things a lot. Yeah, I get a lot of flack for repeating what I say. I get that all the time. Alex, you repeat yourself. You always repeat. You're always repeating. Always, always repeating what you say, Alex. Well, Trump was saying winning for 1 hour. 1 hour on loop. Trump saying winning, 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 winning. Look, if you say it enough times, maybe it'll come true. What have I said in my past videos? The book, The Secret, you know, if you say it, then it's going to happen. So if you say it, if you really believe it, if you repeat it, maybe it'll come true. Maybe it'll come true. Winning, 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 winning. For 1 hour. 1 hour. I wonder if the hardcore, like the really hardcore cults, MAGA Trump people, like the people that are still believing in Trump and they believe that he's playing 20D chess, I wonder if they actually watched the whole hour of that video. He's awesome. 1 hour of winning. I'm joking around. Anyway, that's a real post, by the way. That's not a joke. That's a real post from the White House. And finally, our last clown world for the day, courtesy of The Guardian, which has an exclusive, an investigation, an exclusive on NATO. And The Guardian has uncovered that NATO is speaking to Hollywood directors and script writers, producers, to put together a couple of film projects pumping up NATO. So they're in talks with producers and filmmakers to get some NATO movies and some TV series out about NATO. It's not a joke. It's a Guardian exclusive. NATO meetings with TV and filmmakers prompt claims it is seeking propaganda, exclusive to intimate conversations held with writers, directors, and producers, with a third due in June. So they've got three projects, according to The Guardian, in the works, or at least three projects that they're discussing right now. I think you call it a treatment. Is that what it's called? When you're like in the early stages of putting some sort of a film or TV project, putting it together. And yeah, they've got three of these things cooking. NATO is holding closed-door meetings with film and TV screenwriters, directors, and producers across Europe and the U.S., The Guardian can reveal, prompting accusations the alliance is seeking to use the arts to generate propaganda for the bloc. The alliance has held three meetings with film and TV professionals in Los Angeles, Brussels, and Paris, and is due to continue its series of intimate conversations next month in London, meeting with screenwriter members of the Writers Guild of Great Britain, which represents professional writers in the UK. Cool. We're going to be getting a NATO movie. A couple of NATO movies. A Netflix premiere. A NATO Netflix premiere. NATO takes on the Putin. Or NATO fights Russia. A Netflix premiere, a Netflix exclusive, starring Tom Cruise as Mark Rutte, with Alec Baldwin as Donald J. Trump, Ursula von der Leyen, played by Meryl Streep, and Jennifer Aniston as stunning and brave Kaya Kallas, and introducing, making his Netflix feature film debut, introducing Justin Trudeau as Volodymyr Zelensky. Yeah, he doesn't look like Zelensky, but he understands Zelensky. He knows Zelensky. So yeah, maybe Justin can go back to his drama teacher days, and he can star in this upcoming Netflix exclusive. I don't know if it's going to be a Netflix movie. It might not be a Netflix movie. It might not be anything. It might go straight to cable. Do they even have that anymore? I don't know. But anyway, yeah, Trudeau could be playing Le Goblin Vert. Why not? Why not? Trudeau can call up Alensky, can say, Volodymyr, it's Justin Trudeau. How you doing, Volodymyr?
Hello, Mr. Trudeau. Long time no talk. How is your cosmonaut girlfriend?
Oh, Katie, she's doing very well. Thank you, Volodymyr. Listen, I'm going to be playing you in a new movie, and I wanted to see if I can follow you around for a couple of months. Observe how you talk, how you walk. Kind of follow you around and just understand the man that I'm going to be playing in this movie.
Okay, Trudeau. Podolyak is okay, right? Yes, Mr. President. I think that'll be fine if Trudeau follows you around for a couple of months. Okay, Trudeau. How much am I getting paid for this?
I don't think you're going to get paid anything, Volodymyr.
What are you talking about? No money? Forget about it, Trudeau.
Click. Anyway, that's the video, everybody. The Duran.locals.com. We're on X. We're on Rumble. We are on Telegram. Go to Duran Shop, pick up some merch, like this hoodie or this this T-shirt that I'm wearing today. And I will see everybody tomorrow. Check us out on Substack as well. Take care.